Hi, this is Connie Hunter with Community Conversations, KCIW Radio, and we're blessed today to have Susan Brown, Commissioner Susan Brown from the county, to come and talk about her three-part series of town hall meetings. I'm not going to give a real long introduction, Susan, because I'd like it if you'd self-introduce a little bit. Start out with a little bit about your background as being a commissioner, and then if you could tell us the details of your meeting schedule that's coming up for the town halls.
Sure. Well, first, thank you for taking the time to let me do this. This has been an important part of what I've been wanting to do as a commissioner. I think public outreach and citizen communication is so vital to anything we do in the county, and this opportunity to do the forums has just proved that folks do want to get involved. We've had great engagement, good discussions, good turnout at the meetings, and we're only in a week and a half right now. We still have a week and a half to go to the forums. So I expect it'll continue to be really good discussions. So this week we still have two forums for the second week of the series, Port Orford and Langless on Friday, and then next week we'll do the third week of the series, starting out in Brookings on Monday night at 6 o'clock at the Chetco Activity Center, and then Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. at the Gold Beach City Hall, and then Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Harbor Water Fire Hall, and then back to Port Orford and Langless on Friday, Port Orford at 10, Langless at 1. Do you want me to run through what we've kind of covered
so
far?
Yes, I would love that, please.
Okay. So week one was some general overview of the county budget, because the biggest thing, which is kind of, I think, hard to tackle even at the commissioner level, we have the newspaper headlines that come out, county out of money, and then most recently we had the headline that said county passed $58 million budget. And I thought, well, those two items right there are pretty contradictory, and I think maybe that's where we need to start the explanation. How can we be out of money, and how can we pass a $58 million budget? And we get a lot of questions when that happens, so I thought this was a perfect way to kind of start talking about it. Let's not ignore that we've passed this budget, but let's talk about what it means. So for the $58 million, everybody's heard about our road fund, big road fund reserve. We have $39 million that sits in restricted road fund monies. Those monies can only be used for the road department. Then we have another $4.5 million that's in restricted other funds. Those are funds for the lottery dollars, FAA grants, which are strictly for the airport, Title III money, which is for search and rescue, those types of items that have to be used for specific purposes. Then we have a small pool of unassigned funds, or unused restricted funds, excuse me. Those are funds that have specific purposes, but they haven't all been used, and so they're kind of rolling over. Then we have about $2 million that sits in internal services funds, and these are the funds that run the general government section, so your IT, your payroll, personnel, county council, you know, maintenance on the buildings, things like that. And then we have the general fund, and it's the general fund that you hear a lot about, I think, especially when the county's out of money, and they're talking about it's the general fund. The general fund is out of money. So that's the piece I've been kind of focusing on when we get to it, what feeds the general fund, what is paid out of the general fund. So the general fund money is that property tax amount that we hear about, and then it's other items like the Secure Rural Schools money that comes in that we get saved by every couple of years, and it gets reauthorized, and all of a sudden we have money again. But it's always a smaller pool than funds from 15 years ago. We never know if it's going to come in, what the amount is going to be. And then there's other small taxes that come in from Coos Creek Electric, and there's some OLCC money and some, you know, little fines and things like that. That makes up our general fund dollars, which are discretionary, which means we can spend them however we want. It's money that's open to be distributed to all the different departments to fund county services. So then after that, we talk a little bit about the taxing district piece, because we get a lot of questions about all the money that the taxing districts bring in. Take some of the taxing district money. We can't. You know, each district is their own entity. They have their own board that you elect. They have their own pool of taxes that they draw from, just like the county, so that when, I should just back up, the taxing district thing has been a real tricky piece to explain. So in the general fund I talked earlier about, we have the property taxes that land in the general fund. And in Curry County, we have 45 taxing districts. So out of those 45 taxing districts, Curry County is just one district. And so that's where we draw our property taxes from to pay for services out of the general fund. The entire district brings in about $23 million in taxes. Out of that, Curry County receives $1.6 million. So we have nothing to do with the rest of those taxes. We don't have any control over them. We don't have any control over the boards. And we want to make that clear because we do get that question a lot.
So one of the things that really came to me while I was listening, and of course, by the way, you had me at the beginning with the ground rules, no politics, rather this series is about growing community through citizen involvement and citizen engagement. And I think one of the things that we are short on is general understanding of how the county works, how the county relates to districts and districts relates to the county. And so I really appreciate the first part of this series, this three-part series that you're doing, because it is not only a lesson in civics, but it lays out the state of the county. Mm-hmm. And then it gives us a place, a jumping off place, to start that visioning process. So ultimately, what we're doing is growing the beginnings of a strategic plan. So I'm at some point, let's talk about what a strategic plan is, but let's go ahead and let people know that the information that you're giving about the budget and the slides that were part of the PowerPoint are available through My Sidewalk. Can you tell us a little bit about that so people can look and see those numbers?
Sure, because it's hard to explain those numbers. Sometimes the visual is very good. So we have a new website, the travelcurrycoast.com site, and if you go into the Live page, about halfway down, there's an icon that asks you to join the conversation on My Sidewalk. So simply click on that My Sidewalk link, and it'll ask you to put in your location, Curry County, Oregon, or Brookings, or Gold Beach. We have them all linked for the entire county, so you'll be able to find the posts for the Curry County forums. And we've uploaded all the presentations, the taxing information, the questions, the suggestions from the forums over the first week. And there's also an opportunity to respond. We'll be asking questions throughout this, and there's a couple questions posted right now. So we want people to engage if you can't make it to the town halls, but you want to tell us what you think or what you're thinking would be a good idea. We want to hear that. We want to compile these ideas. So, and another direct way you can get to it, if you can't remember the travelcurrycoast.com site, is just mysidewalk.com, and it'll ask you to for your location, and it'll find the nearest sidewalk, which will bring you to Curry County, and log in and do the same thing.
Now, I have a veteran who's old school, doesn't own a computer, probably won't come to the meetings. What I've done is shared articles from the pilot and said, then if you have any additional questions, that just write a postcard or contact you via the old-fashioned way. If somebody has a real question, they can mail you right at the county.
Well, they can call my direct county line, too, 247-3229, and that rings right to my office. I'm more than happy to take direct calls, and if we get that all the time, I love that part, that people can pick up the phone and call me and ask me a question.
Because you never know where the next best idea is going to come from. And when I have to admit, I attended all five of the first town hall meetings to just see the landscape, to see the different communities, to see the ideas that grow and develop out of there. And Susan, I, number one, was impressed with your congeniality and your ability to elicit people to participate in the process, because so many times people get turned off by the process. So I applaud that. And what I noticed was there were some great ideas coming out of that. So let's get on with what we talked about, the main topics being the county budget and the county relationship with the districts. And one of the things that you wanted to talk later about is the survey. But did you want to talk more about the budget process right now?
No, I think that's enough for the budget process, because it does get a bit lengthy. You can give me a call or jump on the My Sidewalk and look at it, or attend the next forum. And I'm more than happy to, you know, go in depth with anybody who would like to really look at this. We have, let me do the survey real quick, because that was part of that first week. This was a survey that was put out last November, December, January, Curry County Community Survey, asking folks for a variety of opinions on subjects like funding, services, communication, confidence in leadership, and demographics. And we found that there was a lot of support for a number of funding issues, such as the 911 consolidation, transient lodging tax, business license fees, things like that. So I think people are thinking about ways that we can augment our budget at the county level. And we had some fairly positive support for things like law enforcement district and sales tax. So we're just going to, and that's the jumping off point doing this survey. But we were also able to find out that people thought our services were important and valuable, and that we were doing a pretty good job on the services. Except for the commissioners, you know, that was a pretty low rating, and I've put that out at every forum that we need to do a better job as leaders. And part of what we're hearing in the survey is involve the public, listen to us, talk to us. And we haven't done a very good job of that, and this is just the beginning of making sure that we do a better job in the future.
So building a strategic plan with citizen input, wow, that's a novel idea. But you know what? The leadership, Susan, that you're demonstrating in this, I'm going to continue to applaud. We talk about strategic planning as if everybody knows what that means. Tell us a little bit about what a county strategic plan entails, not only in the process of development, but what it looks like at the end of the process, and what that actually does in terms of being a rudder towards a true north for our county.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a rudder. It's a roadmap, if you will. So right now, the county doesn't. We're in flux as a county. We're stuck in a different world, or an in-between world, where we're hanging on to this timber revenue that's been, you know, taken away and slowly eroded our economy. Yet we haven't found what that new economy is for Curry County, and so we're in between, letting go of the old and finding that new. So this is a perfect opportunity to do some strategic planning, because what is that new world for Curry County? And to build that, we need to have citizens be on board with what that new world may be. What do they vision Curry County to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And then part of that process is, how do we get there? And does it work for Curry County? Because if we're all on the same page for Curry County's future, we all know what we're working towards. And not just at county staff, but even folks in the public, they say, yeah, we're gonna have this, we're going to be this, and be excited about it. At the county level, it would be nice to be able to have a direction for every decision that we make. Does it meet where we're going? Does it further where we're going? And right now, if we don't have any vision on where we're going, we're just making decisions with no real outcome to look at. And so bringing the process to the folks, because government is paid for by folks. It's led by folks, and it should be planned. Our future should be planned by the citizens. So the second part of this forum kind of brings that into focus. We asked for ideas all through the first part of the forum. What would you like to see? What do you think we can do? If Curry County could be anything, what would it be? We probably had over 50 suggestions. Many, of course, duplicate suggestions over and over again. So we compiled this. In the second week, we took all those suggestions and separated them into three different categories. One was development, which would be businesses, tourism, kind of our vision, you know, how do we want our communities to be? Education, housing, jobs, those sorts of things. Another category was direct funding, of course. How can we develop sustainable funds for county government to have the services people need? And so we had several ideas, from toll bridges, which was interesting, casinos, sales tax, property tax, reducing service, or that was in a cost saving, excuse me. It was wonderful. And then the third piece was maybe cost savings for the county. And so we had folks that suggested things like, of course, reducing services, or combining services, or having IGAs with our local districts or local cities to see if we can do things together to save some money. So this next week, we're going to have a lot more work, because now we're going to focus on and I had folks fill out their top six choices in each category. So next week, we're going to look at those top six choices and start planning how we take those six, would be 18 actually altogether, and move forward with them. Are they feasible? What's the time frame that it's going to take to implement this? Who are the best people to get involved? And we can start laying a plan for Curry County, because I think those focuses are going to lead us in the direction where folks see us going in a few years.
Well, I see that you're really lining up the priorities and giving some strategic value evaluations with those suggestions. In other words, not everything that a group of people is going to suggest is going to be high on the priority list or be that silver bullet in your strategic plan. But what's good is that we're all putting on our thinking caps. Mm-hmm. Not only are you encouraging us to come forward with the ideas and experiences, because there are people that have, a lot of background in many areas, business, community service, community development, economic development, that are coming out not only to look at the way that the county is right now, but to actually participate in that vision. And I think the best part of trying to figure out where we come up with new revenue sources is there's so much innovation. And you said it was wonderful. It really was. And there was a couple of things that I'd like to just pull out of those conversations, because I was there mm-hmm. for some of those. Of course, it was the tax out of Alaska, uh-huh. Which was a municipality, had a special tax. So if you like that idea and want to expound on that, it's just an example of the innovation that's coming from the groups that are out there participating in this process. So,
right, and this was a great idea from one of the audience members. Up in Alaska, they already had a sales tax in place, but apparently the tax would increase during the tourist season. And they would have local resident discount cards. So when the tax increased, the local residents didn't feel that increase because they had the discount card. So that was put on the list. If we approach a sales tax in Curry County, maybe there's a local discount card. Same with a gas tax. If we do a gas tax in Curry County, a local discount card. So we're capturing visitors who are also using our services as they come through Curry County.
And, of course, we just had the wonderful Cape Blanco Music Festival, which I consider a piece of the puzzle to help catalyze our local economy. Whenever you have arts and culture programs, they beget good energy and bring people to the area, and cultural tourism actually cultural tourists spend more money locally, and a cultural tourist is someone that attends an event like the Cape Blanco Music Festival. They have money to burn when they come to town, and they're ready to enjoy themselves. But there's a way that the county can tap into that good energy and that positive stuff without it really affecting us locally and being a tax to us locally, and that's a fee. You want to tell us about that, Sue?
Yeah, and that was another suggestion, that maybe event fees would be a way to get some money for the county. And the suggestion was maybe a $5 event fee on the Cape Blanco Festival tickets. And then there was some discussion, does that kind of seep over into local organizations that are selling tickets? But I think that's something, if it comes to the top of the list, we have to define and see how it works. I'm not sure how an event fee works to begin with, so it'd be something we'd have to explore, but I think every idea needs to be explored to see what it can do.
And as a person with a cost accounting background, predicting what the actual proceeds from that fee or from that tax or from that new revenue source, what that could possibly be. And that should be factored into the strategic value mm-hmm. in our planning. For example, a property tax has a different strategic value because it's going to probably bring you more money if it gets passed over, say, an event tax. But creating that good perfect storm with multiple resources and multiple pieces of the puzzle to concoct that recipe for revenue is really the way to go. I think what we're trying to do is overturn a lot of stones to find out those possibilities. We even talked a little bit about the town of Pendleton having their own label of beer and selling $1 million worth of beer. That's just a matter of trademarking and things like that. So There are actually business models for products and for services that a county can actually build into their strategy for increasing revenue. So that was kind of interesting. If you were going to rank all of the ideas that came in from the audience members about the best idea for catalyzing our rural economy, what do you think that would be at this point, just from the ideas that were out there in terms of increasing revenues and support for the county's efforts?
I don't know if that would be where I would go picking one of the things we'd suggested already. I think our greatest resource for the county, and not just for county government, for the county, is the folks that are being involved in this. That's what's going to grow Curry County. I mean, it really is having folks at the table talking about what we can do and being committed to working on where we're going to go. That's the key. Whatever we come up with for solutions or ideas, if nobody's there to drive that and take that out to the communities, it doesn't matter. So it's having citizens at the table working with us.
So citizens having the political will to turn mm-hmm. our county around.
Exactly.
That puts the onus on each of us, not just on the commissioners, right? And that's the bottom line. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we all live here. I think we all have a stake in what happens to the county's future. And we all have to look at it that way. It's not just our future, it's our children's future, our grandchildren's future, our neighbor's future. We all have a stake in being here. And that's, you know, when you brought up at the beginning where we started this, we're doing this because we love Curry County. You know, we're here because we love our county. We have a beautiful county, and I think everybody wants to see us flourish. And how do we do that? And we need to do it together.
And Susan, I think one of the key points in all of this is doing it together. There are some committees at the county that are kind of addressing parts of this. If you want to elaborate on the kinds of committees that exist right now that are in line with it coming up with those futuristic goals and that vision, I really appreciate that. I think a lot of our listeners would too.
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is the Committee for Citizen Involvement, appropriately named. But this committee has to do with our land use planning and our comp plan, a comprehensive plan for the Curry County, which is different than a strategic plan. I know they kind of sound like they might be the same, but the comprehensive plan has to do with our managed growth, our planned growth on our lands. And this plan hasn't been reviewed for 30 years. So what we're working with today for land use planning is when timber was flush and fishing was, you know, out there. And we're looking at this different economy. And part of redoing that comprehensive plan with the citizens, and this is heavy outreach for these folks, it has to be, is where do we want to go? And if we're going to place new businesses in Curry County, or if we're going to encourage new growth, housing, how best do we find the lands to accommodate what we want to do as a county? And then when we plan our comprehensive review process and go to the communities, and we can find out, we see growth and development in these sections. We need more industrial or commercial lands here, less here, more residential housing in a specific area. We can start guiding our future by having the appropriate lands for the appropriate needs for our growth. And so that's just, it's a tremendous opportunity for people to really get involved in where we want to grow and preserve at the same time, because we have to preserve lands too. So we have Public Services Financial Advisory Committee, who are part of the Planning and Building Department as well, who are looking at economic enhancement for that department, because again, this department is so valuable to the county for our growth. It's almost always the first line of contact when a business is looking to come in. Where do we set them up? They should be right on top of it. And so this group has been really good about getting there. We have, I think, 40 committees at the county level that work on everything from our ambulance service area plan to make sure that every area of the county is covered in the event of a 911 emergency. I think it's important that these folks that are involved make sure that we don't miss one corner of Curry County for 911 services and ambulance services. So it's just kind of a few examples, but we have many vacancies on many committees. We're always looking for folks that want to get involved, and you can find the committees on our county website. So I encourage you to look at it and find something that you like to do.
Can we put together a list of committees so that I can maybe include it in the narrative, in at least a link to the county? Because I think if people knew more about the pieces of the puzzle that they could participate in, those committees that they could sit on, that we'd have more involvement in general. But certainly, the new posture of saying come out and get involved, and I won't say new, I say enhanced, okay? But there's a lot of newness to that. It's a new effort, okay? And I think that there's a point where we've kind of drawn a line in the sand and said that was then, this is now, we have to go forward. And you talked a little bit about being in between the then and where we want to be when we grow up, and being kind of in that land that really doesn't have a name. You know, it's kind of like we have to do the work. We have to roll up our sleeves together and figure out how can we get somewhere if we don't know where we're going. And that's the fundamental flaw that we're addressing, I think, right now. And I think your leadership has been huge in promoting that.
Can I mention one other committee that...
Please.
Thought of when you were talking, because it's about this outreach, the whole part of that in the public. It's a brand new committee. Yesterday at the commissioner's meeting, we were putting together what we call a PEG task force. It's the Public Education Government Channel, which is charter, carries it. But right now it's been down, I understand, for several months. And we need to get that up and running, because you should be able to view not only government meetings, but it's education, it's public, and it's government. There's an opportunity to have things like this happen on the Public Education Channel. Community meetings, other government meetings, education, information. And if we can, it's a good way to reach out to folks and let them know what we're doing. We could have like the juvenile director on there talking about the programs that he's working with the juvenile services, you know, in Lobster Creek and Boyce Cote Park that he manages, or the sheriff talking about what's going on in his department. It just seems like an avenue that we've missed, and we need to address that. So I was glad to see that committee come up yesterday and get approved. So if anybody wants to kind of work on that project, certainly apply for the committee so we can get that up and running. It's an opportunity that's great.
I think it's fantastic, because you know what? It addresses accessibility. Mm-hmm. It really does. And making meetings available via podcast or via the video broadcast that you're talking about through the PEG is a fantastic supplement and opportunity for accessibility. It also, not everybody can get to the meetings. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has time to read the paper, and they prefer to see it firsthand without it being digested for them through another form of media. And that's where that direct recording or that, putting that meeting on video as it happens, people can see at the level of nuance the differences. For example, I spoke recently and I talked about we. I said we, but it came out in a way in the paper that sounded like you, and it was really meant to be a we. And if that had been on video, I think that people would have saw that little nuance. And it changes the context. It doesn't necessarily change a big outcome, but that context, that being able to see people being brave enough to stand up there and put out their greatest honesty, their greatest vulnerabilities for the county commissioners and for anybody that's watching. This, when somebody takes the time to come and talk at a Board of Commissioners meeting or listen to a Board of Commissioners meeting on podcast or video cast, the bottom line is we are learning more and getting that good information that gives us the good information to base our decisions on. We got to stop being low information voters. And I think that when you're doing this, what is really the bottom line is let's not be low information voters anymore. Let's be citizens involved. Take responsibility for the outcomes and forward thinking of our county. And you know what? Let's roll up our sleeves. Politics be darned. And you had me at no politics. We're building community. I was like, I'm all in, Susan, because that's really, we can differ politically, But the bottom line is, like you said, we all love Curry County. I know we're probably getting close to our time limit, and probably you have a million things to do with the rest of your day. Is there anything that you want to tell us about that first series of town hall meetings that I've forgotten to highlight or that you've forgotten to highlight?
No, I think we covered it, but I would like to stress what good conversation we had at all of the meetings. The engagement was wonderful. I mean, I couldn't have expected more good, thoughtful, respectful discussion. And I'm not amazed, because I know the folks that they do this, but it's always so good to see and hear and be a part of a good conversation about where we're really going. So I hope that continues, and I want to encourage that. Even if after this 3 weeks series is over with, it's only the beginning. Because once we kind of get our focuses narrowed down, that's when the hard work begins, and we got to keep those discussions and implement the plans that we make and move forward. So.
And I really like that highlight right there. This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And Susan, the good news is I feel the same exact way that you do about the quality and the nature of the civic engagement that happened at these town hall meetings. It isn't always like that, but for whatever reason, I think there's that this is the tool and the method of really bringing people into the fold and saying your voice matters. And I thank you for having the courage and the leadership to do that. And I thank you for reminding me of my responsibility in that, too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So this is Connie Hunter, Community Conversations, with our great guest today, Commissioner Susan Brown, who's leading a series of town hall meetings to have that kickoff point for a vision for Curry County, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and your wisdom and your strategies with us today, Susan.
Thanks, Connie. I appreciate everything.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.